This is WKSU News. I'm Andrew Meyer. It's Akron's own version of the Big Dig, the more than billion-dollar project to overhaul the city's sewers with the federal mandate of stopping the flow of raw sewage into the Cuyahoga River. The history of Akron's impact on the river, the work that's being done, and the impact on local ratepayers is the focus of an article in the new issue of The Devil Strip by reporter Emily Dressler, who joins us now in the studio to talk about her story. Emily, thanks for coming in.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Emily, Akron Waterways Renewed, with an exclamation point. That's the grand name that's been given to the project. But what is the project exactly?
Well, the project is to repair the combined sewer overflows, and not just out of the kindness of our hearts. It's a federal mandate. And it's going to stop sewage from being sent into the Cuyahoga River.
So it will mean a substantially cleaner Cuyahoga River, but this isn't going to happen tomorrow.
No, no. In 2027.
2027, so 8 years from now. And this project comes about from a federal mandate, a court order, going back how long at this point?
I think 2009?
Yeah, so 2009, 2027, that's a long haul to turn around a river that still has sewage flowing into it.
Correct.
The crux of the problem here, you mentioned a combined sewer overflow. It's CSO for short.
Yes.
What does that mean exactly?
Well, when the water goes in, water and sewage goes into the sewer system, it could go through a combined pipe, which is a pipe that holds storm sewage and sanitary sewage. And sanitary sewage is a nice sounding name for just, you know, poop and pee.
Mm-hmm.
And then the combined pipe carries all of that to the water reclamation facility, except when there's too much during a wet weather event.
Like during a big rainstorm.
Yes.
And that overwhelms the capacity of the plant, that is just north of Akron, to really handle all the water. And everything is coming in through the pipes. And when that happens, then what happens?
Then a little flap or something lifts up and the raw sewage just goes right into the river.
Lovely.
Yeah, and about 30 different spots.
The problem that we're dealing with here is not something that happened overnight.
Right.
You write that this problem really goes back to when a lot of this infrastructure was put in, and that was almost 100 years ago at this point.
Yeah, I guess so, 1920s.
Now, some improvements have been made over time, but still, I think you write that this is still about a quarter of Akron sewers that are in this situation. That's substantial.
Yeah.
So that probably explains why, when the court order was put in place in 2009, there was such a big price tag that went with it. What was the price tag?
$1.4 billion.
That's a lot of money.
Yes.
That's a lot of money. That's a problem that's generations in making, but it also, I mean, all that money has got to come from someplace. It's not coming from the federal government for the most part. It's coming from here.
Right. It's coming from the sewer ratepayers.
So how is the city going to deal with that? I mean, they're just not going to hit everybody with a bill for, okay, here's your share of $1.4 billion.
Nope. Over time, they are spreading the increased rates out. And some of the loans that they have are zero interest, which is, of course, a big help. But, you know, when it's tacked onto all of the other bills we pay, it's still annoying, but it just at some point is like, well, it's just another bill.
We talked about the name of the project.
Yes.
Akron Waterways Renewed, with the exclamation point. I think the city has done what it can to put a good face on this.
Mm-hmm.
If you can put a good face on dealing with, as you say, poop and pee.
Yes.
One of the most notable aspects of this has been the giant machine that they used to dig one of the most important parts of this project, the interceptor tunnel, and that's Rosie.
Yes.
Rosie was
the gigantic custom-made tunnel boring machine.
And I mentioned the interceptor tunnel, but what is that exactly that Rosie has dug? Because Rosie is now done with the project.
Yes, Rosie is finished. She was disassembled and sold for scrap, I guess. And the interceptor tunnel, for those of you who like the sports terms, it just intercepts all the sewage.
So it's a way station.
Yeah.
It's a holding point.
Yes, for about 25 million gallons, I think.
It can hold up to that much.
Yes.
Purgatory for sewage.
Yes.
Do you think that despite the years of back and forth over this. I mean, we're talking about a problem that goes back to the 1920s, created at that point. We're talking about discussion that's been going on for probably more than 20 years on this. Do you think there's still people living in Akron and around Akron who are paying these bills who still don't have a firm grasp of exactly what's going on despite the enormous price tag on this?
Yes, I think so, probably.
And what are the conversations that you have with people about this?
Well, most of it is explaining what a combined sewer overflow is. And if I'm talking with someone in Cleveland about it, they get this, oh, gross look on their face. And I'm like, hey, it's okay. Cleveland has it, too. And Cleveland is also repairing their CSOs, but they don't have to eliminate all of the overflow events. They're still allowed one or two.
We've talked about the big price tag.
Yes.
But it has come down a little bit. There was a court order about what the city had to do to get everything in shape. So we're not dumping raw sewage in the Cuyahoga River. However, some refinancing has helped knock down the bill slightly. Also, there's been some green technology that's been put into place that's helped the city to reduce some of the construction that's involved with that. What are some examples of that green technology?
The green infrastructure, some of it has been used alongside regular sewer projects, and others so the green projects are just on their own. So there's some repaving projects that used a different type of concrete or stone that helps the water to drain. So there's not as much surface runoff that goes into the storm sewers. And there's also some large storm basins that look just like nice little gardens.
This story is really quite an undertaking, and it's a comprehensive look at something that many reporters, many media outlets have been taking a look at over time. But this really helps to stitch it all together and give that overview that's often missing in the day-to-day. How did you yourself really get your head around this project so that you could really tackle this effectively and tell the story that needed to be told?
Well, for my day job, I end up doing a lot of research of technical topics. So I was sort of used to that. So I tackled it as I would a work project, I guess. I looked at diagrams of what a CSO was and read things that explained how they worked, why they were used, and why places have stopped using them. And then I looked at media archives from the 90s and up, I think, and even some articles from the 80s explaining the issues that Akron was having and the fights we were having about it and everything else.
Having done the reporting, having written the story, being a resident of Akron, are you optimistic, neutral, pessimistic about the future of the Cuyahoga River?
I think optimistic. I think this is something that needs to happen, regardless of how much it costs. It has to happen.
We've been talking with Emily Dressler. Her story in the new issue of The Devil's Trip is The Sewer Project Explained. Emily, thanks for coming in and chatting with us.
You're welcome.
I'm Andrew Meyer, 89.7 WKSU.